Good to see all those that are such great desire to give worship and giving glory, honor, and praise unto our Heavenly Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the dedication that I've seen out of my brothers and sisters in Christ here at the Huntington Beach Church of Christ and making it all of these nights, I know it's not easy. I know it's hard when you got a family, you got life going on, things are happening. It's hard to go, oh, man, we want to get there. But to get there, I commend you on that. And to our visitors, for the extra encouragement that not only that you give me, but I tell you that you give our brothers and sisters in Christ here. The zeal that they see in you and your desire to further your knowledge of the gospel. And if there be any visiting with us tonight that have not obeyed the gospel, that have not maybe ever been to church, then we thank you too for being here and encouraging us that there are those we know that still desire to hear the gospel call. And as we have begun this study in God's plan of salvation and looking at this and understanding this, we began Thursday night with looking at the first step in God's plan of salvation of to hear the gospel of Christ. But not just to hear it, but to read it for ourselves. And even in that, looking at the fact that for people to hear it, guess what? We've got to be out preaching it. We've got to be out teaching it. We've got to be out guiding people where to read the gospel of Christ from. And understanding that it doesn't end there, does it? Something that needs to really be pointed out, it doesn't stop there. It never stops. We don't stop hearing after we follow the steps of salvation, but we begin at hearing and we will end at hearing on that judgment day when we hear our faith. And that of even that hearing the word of the gospel of Christ is what brings us to that step of what we looked at last night, believing in Christ, believing that He is the only begotten Son of God, that He's the Savior of all mankind, that He was the one that went to the cross that we might have salvation from sin, to be freed from the bondage of sin, that He died, buried and resurrected from the dead and ascended to heaven to prepare for us a place. And that belief doesn't end now. It doesn't end once we get through these steps, once we get to that watery grave of baptism, does it? But that belief must continue on once again until that final day of judgment that we're going to stand before Him. And we're going to give account for our lives, for everything that we've done. We're going to have that belief that that will happen. It will be what He tells us it's going to be. And the same thing with repentance. Repentance, it begins now. That if this is the first time you're hearing it, then it begins now for you. If it's not the first time, then you know that this is a reoccurring thing. This isn't something that ends now. But through many times in our life, we will need to repent of our sins. And understanding that. And in talking about this, I want to give you the invitation now. That if right now you are at a spot in your life that you have not obeyed the gospel, but you've heard the gospel, you've read it for yourself. You believe what you heard and what you read and who our Christ is, our Lord and King, our Savior of all mankind, but God and of God. And that you know that you're living in sin. That you have sin in your life and that you need it gone from your life because you don't want to bear with it any longer, then we have the means available right here, right now, this evening to assist you in that. You don't have to wait till the end of this sermon to do so. But if you have that need, it is available now. Or if you are a brother or sister in Christ and maybe you're struggling with one of the points of what we've already looked at or what we're going to look at tonight, that there's something in your life that you need to repent of, don't wait until the end. We don't know if we've got till the end of this lesson tonight. For all we know, the good Lord could come back at this very moment. We don't know. This is how important and crucial these are to our salvation. Even though they may be first principle, they're the first principles that save our lives and continue in working in our Christian lives. That if you have that need, I'd encourage you at this moment or at any time through this lesson to come forward to the front, make your needs known, and that we will take care of those needs in assisting you in becoming a child of God, a disciple of Christ, or restoring you to where you need to be, or praying for you, whatever it may be that you need. But as we begin in looking at this tonight, looking at repentance, I want us to think about the wording of this. Repent of your sins. Who needs to repent of sins? You do. I do. We all do. There's not a one of us that does not need to not repent of sins. Yet, can someone else repent for you? Can you repent for me? No. Only I can repent for me. Only you can repent for you. No one else can do it for us. Now, in understanding and hearing that, we need to read from the Word of God. We need to hear from the Word of God. Here's more plan of salvation. First step, hearing. And once we hear this, we're going to have to make a choice tonight if we believe what we're hearing and what we're reading from the Word of God. To that. To understand our need to repent from our sins. And really, even before we got to begin with that, you know what? Too often, there's a confusion of what repentance is. What does it mean to repent? Some say, well, it's just saying, I repent. Did you hear me? I repent. Now I'm going to go back and do that sin I was doing before that I just repented of. No, that's not repentance. Repentance is turning away from. It's a change of mind. It's saying that, you know what? Not only am I not happy with this sin because it's accompanied with regret and sorrow for something done, something that with an earnest heart we wish could be undone, that we would have never done. Now don't tell me you don't have a sin like that in your life. Most all of us do. And for many of us, and if we're young, sometimes it's even that sin of, I lied. I lied to mom and dad. I lied to my school teacher. I gave an omission of guilt. You know, I didn't say anything when I knew that it would get me out of trouble, but I knew that if I opened my mouth, I was lying. Well, man, it's amazing that we can lie without ever opening our mouths. There's things that go on in our lives that we may think, oh, even, hey, I've grown up in the church. You know, I'm not a bad kid. I'm not a bad person yet. I haven't been off reveling in parties and all this other stuff and things we'll look at tonight. I don't need to repent of anything yet. I don't need to obey the gospel yet. But we've all sinned. And we're going to come into recognition of that we all have need of repentance. There's something in our lives that we wish we would have never done and it could have been undone. And in that's why we repent of it. And meaning that we turn away from it. Leaving it from behind, not to return to it again, not to be like, well, that was a kind of fun. Maybe, no, that wasn't fun at all. I'm going to stay away from it. Now, that sounds really easy when somebody says, repent ye and be baptized, right? See, there we go. The Big Bang went off with it. Thank you, Eli. Keep sneaking that cat gun into that toy bag. Two nights in a row, I had to take it out. I didn't think it made it back in there, but we know now it does. Eli, you need to repent, son. But into this, we think, how easy is that? It was good. It was comical. We got a good laugh out of it. Repentance is something easy, right? I mean, look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We repeat this all the time. If I can get the... Does it like me? There we go. It likes me. Of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just think about that for a minute. He said unto them, repent. Did he just say you and you? No, he said everyone. Everyone repent, be baptized. Every one of you, for what reason? For the remission of sins. We have to repent because we're just sinful man. We stumble, we fall. And yet so often we go, oh, that sounds so easy. We should just be able to walk outside anywhere and go, Repent ye and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Come on, let's go get it done. Hey, why aren't you following me? I just told you what an easy thing to do. You need to repent. Be baptized. I got right here. Why is anybody getting up? Because it's not an easy thing to induce the sinner to do, is it? It's not something that's really easy. And yet, why? What? Why is it so hard to get people to understand what they need to do to save their souls? You just got to repent and be baptized. You know, it's not just about that, but it's also about repenting. And it's about being converted. It's more than just repenting in itself. That when we repent for our sins, in that we're also being converted to the Lord. That of what we see if we go on over to Acts 3. That there in Acts 3:19 says, repent ye, us, you, me, I. Therefore, be converted. That my sins may be blotted out. So just repenting doesn't do it all. Repenting's not the key. Now I know people out there today will tell you this. Just repent. Just hear. Just believe. Just repent. Some saying you can stop. Some will go a little further and say, well, you got to confess. And that's it. You're good. Okay. But that's not enough. Not enough to stop at repentance. We've got to be converted. Because if we're converted, that means we're changing, isn't it? It means that we've been converted to blot out our sins and all of these things. And we need to see something else, though, with this. We need to come to an understanding that at one time, God turned... How do I want to phrase this? Well, it says it best in the fact that it says that God overlooked, or God winked at, in some translations, the sins of all the nations. It's not that was condoning of it at any time. And we'll see this in just a minute. But he was so busy working to get Christ here so that all the nations could have forgiveness of their sins, that they could have an opportunity to repent of these sins. And that we need to understand God no longer overlooks it. God no longer winks at it, because he's given a means that Jew and Gentile, us, that we might be saved. That with that, he calls us all to repent. And before we look at that, we need to understand something of Paul telling the church in Rome, in Rome chapter 3 and verse 23 here. He says, for all, not some, all have what? Sinned. All have sinned. And that's not it. But guess what? Their sin has also caused what? He says, and to fall short. What's it mean to fall short? Anybody know? Fall short is, you know, oh, I almost won the race. But I fell short. I gave out, you know, my leg got hurt and I gave out, you know, 50 feet from the finish line. It was a terrible thing. But as a matter, it means we didn't finish. We didn't accomplish. We didn't reach the goal that we wanted. And what is that goal? He says, it's the goal of the glory of God. That in that, when we've sinned, we fall short of the glory of God. Because is there darkness in God? Is there sin in God? Is there temptation in God? Well, no. And James chapter 1 tells us that. When James says he can't even be tempted. Not only that, nor does he tempt anyone. So we've got to be able to come unto him without sin. What have we seen? How do we get rid of sin? What was that definition of that word? Repentance? To seek forgiveness. To repent of it, to do away with it, to leave it behind in all things. That, and then we get into Acts 17, verse 30, and it says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at or overlooked. But now, right now, still is now. Now was then and now is now. but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. To repent of their sins. And to really understand this, let's take Jesus with the parable here. Matthew chapter 28, in verse 21 through there here of verse 32, of the two sons that were both given a commandment to do something, and one said, "Nah, I don't want to do it." And one said, "Oh yes, Father, I'll do it. Let me go. We're going to look at this." And Jesus is answering a question and asking a question here into these people, into this at this time. He's talking to, we know, the children of Israel. And he starts out there with, he says, "But what think ye?" He wants to know what's on their mind. A man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in the vineyard." And he answered and said, "I will not." But afterwards, he repented himself. He repented himself. He realized what he had done was wrong, and he wished he had never told his father, "No, I won't do that. I won't do what your will is. I won't do what you asked me to do." And so he repented of it. And he went. He then went and did as he was commanded. And so the father here in verse 30, he continues on and he comes to the second and said, likewise, exactly the same. He said unto him, "Go work today in the vineyard." And the second son, he answered and said, I go, sir. I'm going. And went not. Now Jesus asked them a second question here. He's given them a story. He said, "I want to ask you a question." He gives them the story. And he says, okay, which of the two did the will of the father? Of their father, of his father? Well, quickly, you know, they say, "Well, the first did it. Jesus? Come on, yeah, the first one did it." Jesus says unto them, "Verily I say unto you," to you, he's talking to them. He says that the publicans and the harlots, you know who these people are? These are the people that the Jews don't like. The Jews see them as completely ungodly, worthless, worldly trash. Not worthy of God. Not worthy to be in the same room with them. Because they're children of God. Children of Israel. But Jesus says unto them that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way. In that way, he's talking about that he preached to them, he taught them of righteousness. He says, and you believed him not. But yet the publicans, and once again, here's the harlots that you just despise. Guess what? He says, they believed him. And ye, you children of Israel, when ye saw it, it didn't even repent yourselves afterwards. That even in seeing it and understanding it, that they had something that these Gentiles, these publicans and these harlots didn't have, didn't they? They had the teachings of God. They had been raised with the prophecies from the prophets right in front of their face. Here it is. Here's everything you need. And still rejected it. Still didn't repent. They didn't believe him. And many times that can be us, can't it? That can be us when we're raised in the church. That can be us. And we know it. We've seen it. We've read it. We've heard all the Bible stories. If you were raised in the church, don't you remember going through God's plan of salvation from about yay high? And don't you remember many of us probably fought doing what we needed to do? Because what do I need to ask for forgiveness of? Many of us say, yeah, I'll do it as the second son and never go. But we need to be as the first son that said, I will not go. But yet realized his sin. And he repented himself. And what did he do? He went and he did the will of his Father. This was about following the will of his Father. Do we follow the will of our Father today? The will of our Father is that we recognize our sin and that we repent of it. And that we follow through in the steps. But next, as we'll see as we go on into our studies tomorrow, that we confess. And that we are baptized. And then we go on in an obedient and faithful life unto Him. But it won't be the last time we repent. There'll be many times in our lives that we need to repent to do the will of our Father in all of this, in understanding this. Now, to give you a little lighter note, you know, it's pretty tough. Me and my brother used to love to irritate our mother growing up because of this parable. And my mother would tell us to do something. No, I won't do it. And as she was getting mad at us, we'd turn around, walk, and go do it. And she, well, why'd you tell me no and you're going to go do it? Well, because that's what the good son did, Mom. But really, we need to just do it in the first place. And when we say we won't do it and we stumble, we need to be like the first son. We need to repent of that sin and go on and do the will of our Father in all of this. Which then brings us to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, here in verses 8 through 11. And here Paul, these letters to the churches, to the church at Corinth, there was issues. There was issues left and right. And as we saw just a minute ago in Matthew chapter 21, of Jesus talking to those that had not obeyed. Those that weren't accepting. Those that wouldn't repent as they were called to. Those that had even been raised up in knowing what was coming, what was needed. Yet here we're going to see Paul calling of repentance of those that have already repented. So we see now we're going to see repentance doesn't end on the day of salvation, on the day that we obey the gospel and being baptized into Christ. But we constantly need it. That is, we begin there in verse 8. Paul, writing to him, said, Even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it. Although I did regret it, for I see that letter grieved you. Though only for a while. Now, wait a second here. He says, even if I made you grieve with my letter, I don't regret it. Well, grieve, what is grieving? Grieving is sorrow, sadness, feeling down because, well, that's because we know we've done something wrong. Or something's not right as it should be. But he says, I don't regret it. Yet then he says, though I did regret it. Well, wait a second. He just said, I don't regret it, but he did regret it. Well, he didn't regret writing this letter of calling them into repentance. He didn't regret acting to call them out, to put their feet to the fire. But he did regret that he had to do it in the first place. You know that old saying we heard from our parents and you kids that are out there, you hear from us now. It's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Yeah, right. But it does, doesn't it, Mom and Dad? It hurts. We don't regret correcting them that they don't do this again, but we regret that we have to do it. It hurts. We don't want our child to do that. That's Paul here. I don't want you as my family doing this. But he says, but guess what? I see that this letter, it grieved you. but only for a while. Well, what does he mean only for a while? Well, verse 9 he says, as it is, I rejoice. Not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. Hold the presses. It worked. What he didn't want to write him about, what he didn't regret writing about, but he didn't want to have to write him about, because he did, he rejoices because it brought him to grievance. It brought him to realize that they were in sin. And it brought them to the point of repentance. He says, for you felt a godly grief. Not just a, oh, that was pretty bad, but a, oh no, my soul is in jeopardy. I am separated from God. I am spiritually dead to God and I don't want to be here. And in that he says, so that you suffered no loss through us. And because this letter came to you, you're not lost anymore. Nor will you be lost eternally. He says, for godly grief, once again, here's that good, that grief that reminds us of separation. He says, it produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. That godly grief is a good grief. It's a grief that it convicts us. It shows us that we have wrong in our life, that we have sin in our life. And that godly grief, it produces that point that we want to repent. That salvation, it leads to that we don't have any regret. There's nothing to regret because we've repented of it. And we know that we've been forgiven of it. But he says, whereas the opposite, he says, worldly grief, it produces death. Not just spiritual death here in this life, but in the eternal life, an eternal death and separation from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and separation from our Heavenly Father, our God. So for that, we see what earnestness, he says, this godly grief has produced in you. But you also with eagerness to clear yourselves. He says, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourselves innocent in the matter. Why? Because they did not want these things. They did not want the indignation that came from it. They did not want the fear that came from their sin. They did not want the longing of knowing that they were separated from God. They did want zeal in the Lord, but they did not want the punishment that goes along with it. So they proved themselves innocent in the matter. Now, many of you tonight may be sitting here, but some of you here tonight, let me rephrase it. Not many. That's a big assumption that shouldn't be had. But there may be someone with us tonight that may be upset at this, that we may have, it could be me, that we may have sin in our life at this moment that is holding us back, that we should be, and maybe we are having godly sorrow over. That we're having fear of indignation. We're having a longing of what do I do? And I know what I need to do, but how do I do it? How do I walk away from it? Because every time I try, it keeps stumbling me. And I don't want the punishment that comes along with the sin that's holding me back. And I want to prove myself innocent in the matter to all, but to especially my God. What He wants you to do is to repent, to ask for forgiveness. And if it's that one that maybe we can't get rid of it on our own, then guess what? We need one another. James 5:19 says, go to one another daily confessing your sins. Why? So that everybody can talk about you? No, so that we can pray for you. He says, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. If we have sin in our life, if we haven't obeyed the gospel yet, and we have, let's go to this realm first. If we have, as those here in the church of Corinth, and we need prayers, we need to ask for forgiveness, we need to be restored, then right now, at this moment, is the time to ask for it. It's time to go to God and ask Him for that. It's a time that if you need it, you ask us, your brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage you, to exhort you, to pray for you, to study with you. Because I tell you right now, I don't want that any one of us sitting in this room right now, that if the Lord came tonight, if I had my way, that nobody would hear, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know who you say you are. You say you're Chuck Griffin? I don't know that guy. What about Charles Griffin? No, not him either. That we all may hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in. You've proven you're innocent. Come in. How do we do that? We do that by repentance, by repenting of our sins in this manner. And I must ask, and we've got to ask the question, what will happen if we don't? I think I pretty well answered it, but let's let Luke answer it for us also. Luke and Luke 13 and verse 3, and also repeating verbatimly in verse 5 of Luke chapter 13. He says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And we know what he's talking about. The lake of fire and brimstone. And we're not talking about the Nirvana song or the many songs that have been written about the awful place that we know about. That if we live a life unpleasing to God, that we may not get there to heaven. But we may get to where we don't want to go. We really might. And I'd encourage every young person here, every one of you, to think about that, to know where you're at, to question your heart of what you may need to do tonight. To be always on guard of that. I've seen too many times as a young teenager, I've seen too many times in my adult life, wonderful, sweet, loving, young children and being raised in the church, having not obeyed, losing their lives. And at ages of accountability. And the struggles that those parents have with, they want to go, well, I want to say they're in heaven. I want to say without an equivocal doubt. But I know that they were old enough to know the difference between right and wrong. I know they were old enough to understand regret and sin and repentance. That we think about that constantly. That stirs us in our ways. And that it stirs us as parents, as grandparents, as brothers and sisters in Christ, of congregations with young children, of continually teaching them. And not just teaching them God's will, but being that living example to them. Being not just what they're reading, but they read it in us. Because we don't want to perish, do we? We don't want to perish from the lake of fire and brimstone, of weeping and gnashing of teeth, the undescribable pains for eternity. So we see it's very clear that we must repent. We must repent of our sins to have salvation. And once we've done that, guess what? There's going to be a few more times in life that we're going to do that. And now, right now, this is the time to do it. We made it to the end. Yeah. We're at the old closing. The sign we look for. But where are you at tonight? Do you need to repent? Do you need to repent for the first time in entering into the kingdom of heaven and having your name placed in the book of everlasting life? Have you done something that removes your name and you need it restored? And make that need known tonight. And understanding these steps of salvation, that we need to hear the gospel of Christ, that we truly need to hear it and read it for ourselves and understand, comprehend what we're hearing. And we need to be ones going out and making sure that people are hearing this. And we need to believe what we heard, that Jesus is the Lord and Christ. He is the one that came down from heaven and was made a little lower than the angels for you, for me. That He is the King of all kings, the only Son of God and Savior to all. And that we need to repent. To repent of our sins. No one else can do it for us. Only me. Only You can do it for you. And to make confession of our faith in Jesus Christ and who He is and what He has done, that He will then confess us before His Father in heaven. And being baptized, now here's the one thing, the one thing we're going to do once, and we're going to see this tomorrow, Lord willing, that if we do all the first four right, we're only going to have to do number five one time. And all those four, first four, we're going to keep doing them. But we're going to only need to be baptized once for the remission of our sins, for the forgiveness and of our salvation. And that we will see, Lord willing, by tomorrow evening. After we've done that, something else we're going to do and continue to do, not just after we are baptized, but until that judgment, is that we're going to remain obedient and faithful to the Lord. And part of that's going to be keeping up those first four steps in remaining obedient and faithful. Because guess what? As I said, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He's going to be my judge. He's also going to be yours. What is His answer going to be if He came right now? I ask you right now, if the Lord came at this moment to call us on home, where would you go? What is your answer? If you haven't obeyed the gospel and you need to obey the gospel. Ethiopian eunuch, here's water. What hinders you from being baptized tonight, becoming a child of God? If you have need to obey the gospel, if you have need to repent, if you have need of the prayers of the brothers and sisters in Christ here, then now is the time to make that need known. And I know I went a little bit longer tonight. Thank you for bearing with me. But if you have that need, don't worry. We'll stay here another 20, 30 minutes, whatever we need to make sure that anybody and all that need prayers or need to obey are taken care of tonight. Make that known as we stand and sing now the invitation song by coming to the front.